Maya Yesha Maya Shrishta.
Maya Yesha Maya Shrishta.
Maya Yesha Maya Shrishta.
Maya Yesha Maya Shrishta.
Yadvumam Shamsriya Satim.
Yadvumam Shamsriya Satim.
Yadvumam Shamsriya Satim.
Yadvumam Shamsriya Satim.
Manyasheno Payam Yadvai. Maya,
Maya,
by me,
by me.
Shrishta,
Shrishta,
created,
created.
Yat,
Yat,
from which,
from which.
Bumansam,
Bumansam,
a male,
male.
Striyam,
Striyam,
a female,
female.
Satim,
Satim,
chest,
chest.
Manyase,
Manyase,
you think,
you
think. Na,
na,
not. Ubhayam,
Ubhayam,
both.
Both.
Yat,
Yat,
because.
Because.
Vai,
certainly.
Hamso,
Hamso,
freed from material contamination.
Freed from material contamination.
Pasha,
Pasha,
Jasi.
Yes.
Avayo,
Avayo,
now.
Gatim,
factual position.
Factual position.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes you think yourself a man, sometimes a chaste woman, and sometimes a neutral eunuch. This is all because of the body, which is created by the illusory energy. This illusory energy is my potency, and actually both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. Now just try to understand this. I am trying to explain our factual position. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The factual position of both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity is qualitatively one. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Spirit, the Supersoul, and the living entity is the individual spiritual soul. Even though both of them are original spiritual identities, the living entity forgets his identity when he comes into contact with material nature and becomes conditioned. At such a time, he identifies himself as a product of the material nature. Because of this material body, he forgets that he is the eternal Sanatan part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in this way: Mamai Vamsho Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The word Sanatana is found in several places in Bhagavad Gita. Both the Lord and the living entity are Sanatana, eternal, and there is also a place known as Sanatana, beyond this material nature. The residence of both the living entity and God is the domain of Sanatana, not this material world. The material world is the temporary external energy of the Lord, and the living entity is placed in this material world because he wanted to imitate the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this material world, he tries to enjoy his senses to his best capacity. All the activities of the conditioned soul within the material world are perpetually taking place in different types of bodies. But when the living entity acquires developed consciousness, he should try to rectify his situation and again become a member of the spiritual world. The process by which one can return home, back to Godhead, is Bhakti Yoga, sometimes called Sanatan Dharma. Instead of accepting a temporary occupational duty based on the material body, one should take to the process of Sanatan Dharma, or Bhakti Yoga, so that he can put an end to this perpetual bondage in material bodies and return home, back to Godhead. As long as human society works on the basis of false material identification, all the so-called advancements of science and philosophy are simply useless. They only serve to mislead human society. Anthayatandhaya upaniyamanaha. In the material world, the blind simply lead the blind. And in that relation of Ajnana Tamarandasya Vinanjana Shalakaya, Chakshu Anuli Tamjena Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance. And my spiritual master is kindly trying to force open my eyes with the torch light of Vedic knowledge. The translation again. Sometimes you think yourself a man, sometimes a chaste woman, and sometimes a neutral eunuch. This is all because of the body, which is created by the illusory energy. This illusory energy is my potency, and actually, both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. Now just try to understand this. I'm trying to explain our factual position. I was sitting outside the bakery yesterday. I like sitting there. And Kanchana Vali told me a story. She said, "Did you ever hear about the turtle in the tree?" I was trying to search my memory and I couldn't think of anything. So she said, "Did you know that once there was a turtle and he was seen climbing a tree very slowly with his claws digging into the trunk of the tree? And when he got to the branch, he carefully climbed up to the end of the branch and began to flap his little reptilian feet and leapt off the branch. And immediately his shell crashed on the ground and he was stunned. But after a few minutes, he got up again and slowly walked to the base of the tree, climbed up the tree, went out onto the branch, flapped his claws, and jumped, and again crashed, his shell almost shattering. But after recovering from the shock, again he went to the tree. So it went on like this for some time, and it was seen that in the tree were also two birds looking on. The female bird said to the male bird, 'Darling, do you think it's time we told Tommy he's adopted?'" So I thought it was funny because, but it's not so funny because that's all of us. We're somehow we're an illusion and a grand illusion, and because of that, then we're suffering very much, which isn't so funny. This grand illusion is very captivating. Yesterday I saw someone playing a game, World Domination. And with the click of the mouse, you know, one wipes out armies. So afterwards, I know that after he was playing that game, he had to go and clean the bathrooms of the guest house after dominating the world. So in our dreams, we're the masters of the material nature. But in reality, it's something a little sadder. We're affected by moha illusion. And this illusion means that we are one thing, but we're thinking that we're something else. So it's not just the case that we've forgotten who we are, that would be one thing. But instead, we've actually assumed an entire false identity. That's more of a problem. Like, it's one thing if someone's asleep, then they're in a neutral situation. But if one's dreaming so many things, then you're actively engaged in something false. This is the difference between amnesia and delusion. A patient with amnesia, he's temporarily forgotten who he is. And there's some treatment for amnesia. But a person in delusion, it's the difference between you know, some problem and a psychiatric disease. When you're in delusion, then you're really, maybe you have to go to the psychiatric hospital. So the nature of the spirit soul, and Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, everyone knows, Jivara Svarupaya Krishnera Nichidas, that the spirit soul is actually, we're Krishna's eternal servants. But instead, right now, we're thinking, aham bhogi, that we are the enjoyers. Bhagavad Gita 3:27, kartaham iti manyate. We're thinking, I am the doer, I am Ishvara, the controller. So, how did all of this come about? How did we get this amnesia? Were we sleeping in the spiritual one day and fell out of bed, we got a bump on the head, and then suddenly we forgot who we were, and we find ourselves waking up in the material world? It's not quite so innocent as that. Actually, we wanted to forget. And we wanted to forget Krishna. But in the spiritual world, it's not actually possible to forget Krishna. At every moment, the devotees in the spiritual world are finding newer and newer stimulus to remember Krishna. So therefore, if we want to forget Krishna, the only way we can do it is if Krishna personally helps us to forget him. Otherwise, it's not possible on our own to forget Krishna. He's permeating everything. He's the soul of the soul. He's the air that we breathe. He's the water that we drink. He's around us at every moment. So by Krishna's causeless mercy, due to our desire, he places us under the influence of the material energy. And that material energy has two specific potencies, prakshapatmik shakti and avaranatmik shakti. So the prakshapatmik shakti, it covers us over. It's a very powerful energy, daivihi ashagunamayi, because to make a living entity who's so dependent on Krishna, forgetful of Krishna, and even think himself to be God, that takes a powerful energy. So this prakshapatmik shakti, it covers us over. It makes us forgetful and gives us a sense of illusion that we're something else. Aham bhogi kartaham iti manyate. And in that condition, avaranatmik shakti, it throws us down and we become entangled in material bodies. And then we start to think that I am a product of these material elements, this is me. Srila Prabhupada likens the situation to a cloud that comes to cover the sun. This prakshapatmik city is like a prakshapatmik shakti, is like a cloud that's covering the sun. Everything becomes dark. The sun is still there, but when a storm comes, we can't see the sun. And in that darkness, sometimes we can't see properly, and we may fall into a ditch. This is the avaranatmik shakti. But this is our independence. We want this situation. It's our free will, and Krishna gives it to us. Krishna says, ye vipa, ye yata me, ye yata mabhukadyante. That as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. If we want Krishna, then everything comes naturally. We'll remember Krishna, we'll be surrounded by so many opportunities and stimuli to remember Krishna. If we want to place our faith in demigods for some material benefit, Krishna will make our faith strong, he says, in those demigods. If we want to become a complete atheist and forget Krishna altogether, he'll help us do that also. He'll give us the intelligence. Savasya chaham priti sanitishto matasmriti ajnana upohanamcha. Krishna is seated in our heart, and from him comes intelligence, memory, and forgetfulness. So it takes a certain kind of intelligence to be able to forget Krishna. And that's provided by Krishna. So some of you may have heard of this idiotic Dawkins rascal, Richard Dawkins, who wrote a book, The God Delusion. And he also began with his followers a movement to put the messages from his book all over the subways in England, trying to promote the idea that God is an illusion. Not we're not an illusion, God's an illusion. And there's chapter after chapter after chapter of interesting arguments of why Krishna doesn't exist. When we studied science and religion, I had my respect course at Bhaktivedanta College. But what was this devotee who was teaching science and religion in the college? He came from America? It wasn't Prana this time, it was a young devotee. Anyway. Was that Gopal Hari? This time it was Gopal Hari. Anyway, they encouraged the students to study some of these arguments. And Rishabh did a presentation last year of Dawkins and his various arguments and how they can easily be defeated. Even other scientists, they defeat them easily, but somehow or other it's captivating. And Krishna's provided an intelligence to do that. What to speak of Sankaracharya, who was really a successful preacher of atheism. But that's our independence. If we want it, we can say, I don't believe in karma. Let me do as I like. But it doesn't mean that we won't suffer. We may be sound asleep, that's our choice if we want to sleep, but it won't stop the house burning down. If the house is burning down, it's burning down. You may choose to sleep and you'll be burnt in your sleep. It's not that because we're sleeping then somehow or other the world stops. No, karma goes on and we'll get our result. It's not always very pleasant. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that in this world the blind are leading the blind. So in this world leaders are there, there's scientists, religionists, educationists, social workers. Scientists are telling us, follow their advice and we'll be happy. You poor lady, you came to my clinic, you're feeling morning sickness, it's very unfortunate, I think I should prescribe you a nice medicine. It's thalidomide. Those who are older might remember that in the 1950s there was an experimental drug, thalidomide. It was prescribed for women who felt nausea during pregnancy. But it very rapidly began to break down the cell growth of the embryo in the womb. And babies were born without arms, without legs, without any limbs whatsoever. It was almost a very high percentage of women that took thalidomide, they took it. Well, the scientists are telling us, for your health, please eat meat. The religionists are telling us, some of them especially, that if you want to be liberated or free from the material energy, just practice sense gratification until you become satiated. It's a bona fide process. Or they're telling us, the educationists, study 8 hours a day for 20 years of your life, the best 20 years, from when you're 5 until you're 25. And at the end of it all, you can become a doctor. You may have $30,000 of debts or more, maybe it's $50,000 these days. And you may have a lot of stress, but being a doctor will make you happy. Being a doctor, you can help so many people. You can take on board so many women who are suffering from the unpleasant condition of an unwanted pregnancy. You can relieve them from these things and do good to mankind. And in that way, the leaders of society are killing us, actually. The social worker is telling us, you poor person, you're so stressed. You're trying to follow the spiritual path, but it's difficult in this world. You need more sex. Devotees sometimes they feel difficulty in Krishna consciousness and they need to take shelter of someone. Their mind is becoming too much. And if they take shelter of the wrong person, they get this advice. There was a devotee in New Zealand. When Ramai Swami, some of you might know him, he was a GBC in New Zealand for many years. He had a rock band. He would travel around Australia, and one boy became attracted, Bhakta Mike. So Bhakta Mike came. He wouldn't take off his dark glasses inside or outside the temple, and he always had them on. It was a sign that something was going on the inside. And a very sweet boy, very intelligent, and he wrote beautiful lyrics, the songs that Ramai Swami sang. But inside he felt the struggle, you know, for material sense gratification. So somehow he went to see a psychologist, maybe even under some devotee's advice. And he was told that you need to normalize your life. You need to normalize your life. So you need to basically, the psychologist is taking the position of the lap of the witch Maya. Just put your head here. Just go back to sleep. It's all right. Waking up is painful. Oh, it feels uncomfortable to get up when you're tired. Just go back to sleep. I try and wake my son up in the mornings when he was small. And I try and do it softly, you know, Risha, wake up. And sometimes I'd even lie down next to him and give him a little pat. Risha, time to wake up. And then I'd feel a little pat on my shoulder and it would say, Mata, come to sleep. Sometimes I did not sleep. So this is the blind leading the blind. What to say. Srila Prabhupada in his Vyasa Puja offering, he writes to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he laments our condition. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, paying most heavy the illusion's toll. So this toll is tax. That's actually the price for forgetting Krishna. Janma, mritu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease. That's a heavy tax. We think 25% is a heavy tax, but this tax is 100% of our energy. Even on a material level, the tax is heavy for forgetting Krishna. Sometimes the collective energy of the population is being paid to the government in tax. And the government takes 50%, sometimes in the Cold War, it was more than 50%, and it would go to producing weapons meant to destroy everybody, to send everyone to war and kill them. It's not a joke. Prabhupada writes, darkness around, all untrace. The only hope, your divine grace. Misled we are all going astray. Save us, Lord, our fervent pray. Wonder thy ways to turn our face. Adore thy feet, your divine grace. So, in that stanza, Srila Prabhupada points towards a solution for the ignorant, sleepy condition of the conditioned soul to take shelter of the spiritual master. So this is the remedy, how to wake up. The spiritual master, he knows the art of how to turn our attention away from our dreaming condition and redirect it to Krishna, our waking condition. So all of our activities, he has a plan of how they can gradually draw our attention towards Krishna. When you have a stroke in the brain, sometimes there's the blood will actually damage the brain cells that control certain parts of the body. And it may be that we become paralyzed in some places. Sometimes it's permanent or sometimes it's temporary. And the treatment for that, sometimes the doctor will artificially begin to exercise our limbs. And we have to practice learning how to walk again, how to lift the spoon again, how to put it into our mouth, how to speak and pronounce words and control our lips. And the physiotherapist, the speech therapist, they'll engage us in all of these practices so our brain will gradually make new connections and eventually remember again how to do all of these things. Sometimes a person with amnesia also, a treatment could be that they're gradually reintroduced into their old environment. Maybe not all at the beginning, they might get a shock. But little by little, they'll bring a relative, they'll let you visit a certain place, and then somehow a sense of deja vu comes in the mind. I've seen this before. And memory will gradually return. After a car accident, or sometimes this thing happens. So the spiritual master, he's not like a false doctor. He's a genuine doctor. His treatment, message of service thou hast brought. A healthful life is Chaitanya wrought. Unknown to all, it's full of grace. That's your gift, your divine grace. So devotional service is the treatment for our forgetfulness that will actually rehabilitate us to our normal condition of life. Through any process of rehabilitation, it takes daily execution. So practicing again and again and again. We have so many things that Srila Prabhupada has provided to us that will stimulate this dormant awareness of Krishna. We wake up in the morning, we offer our obeisances, we remember I'm Krishna's eternal servant. We put on our tilak, and remembering that the Lord of our existence is Keshava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who has fine curly hair. Lord Narayan, the shelter of all living beings. Lord Madhava, the husband of the goddess of fortune. He's also the giver of pleasure to our senses and the cows and the brahmanas. Just small, simple things Prabhupada is introducing into our lives to help us actually remember who we are. It's quite an exciting thing, actually. We had a seminar with His Holiness Kadambakarana Maharaj the last few days with the youth of the summer camp. So we were brainstorming about some results of chanting Hare Krishna. So one of them was that we can actually rediscover who we really are, self-realization. One of the students came up. So it's quite exciting to discover who we are and what our relationship with Krishna is. That will be quite a discovery. Everyone's quite excited. Eureka! I've discovered the principle of displacement of matter, of displacement of mass. It's wonderful, you know. Who was that? Who discovered this in the bathtub?
Archimedes.
He ran down the street naked, it said, straight from his bath, shouting, Eureka! Eureka! I found it! So much enthusiasm to discover a small law of material nature, what to speak of discovering the eternal nature. So it's a great discovery. And this is all possible because of our daily activities. Prabhupada was very expert from Gaitas in preaching, especially preaching to conditioned souls, because as we preach, we're forced to speak about Krishna and remember. And by speaking, it's a very powerful way of remembering. And all of these principles, they're servants of two principles. And the Padma Purana, it says, Smarta Vyaya Satatam Vishnuar, that one should always remember Krishna. And the opposite, I don't know, but never forget Krishna. So we have to cooperate. Prabhupada's providing us a lot of opportunities. But sometimes, like a sleepy child, we don't want to wake up. In the ashram in Mayapur, where I had the good fortune to be an ashram teacher for some boys, sometimes we'll want to wake the boys up in the middle of the night. Especially there were a few boys who had trouble with their bladder in the night. And me being a lazy person, I didn't want to deal with the result of that in the morning. So we'll try to wake the boys up in the night and take them to the bathroom. And they'd be so like dead weights in our arms, and we'd be walking them, you know, to the bathroom, and they'd be hanging, just not able to take a step on their own, you know, quite reluctant. Jayadeva was here for the summer festival. Jayadeva, he writes beautiful lyrics for his songs, and I remember just one phrase out of a song. He says, "Our brute forgetfulness of you." So a brute is a beast, basically. A beast, he's dull and he's stubborn. You know, the beast, he's pushed and he's pulled, but he digs his hoofs in. And he's very dull also. He doesn't want to cooperate. So we're fighting the spiritual master sometimes with our laziness, our inertia, with our other ideas and what to say. We do that. no, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jogo, Gaurachandra Bole. Bhaktivinoda Thakur advises us that we should listen to the call of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and wake up and get our head out of this lap of the witch Maya, because Maya is waiting with a chopper. She's just waiting to catch us. Sleep, sleep. And in the meantime, your karma is accumulating. And one day there'll be a chop and your human life will be finished. You'll be going back down again into animal life. So this is the result. There's a famous European nursery tale. I don't know if it's Hans Andersen or the Brothers Grimm, but they had some nasty fairy tales. I don't know how children sleep listening to those. But there was a story of Hansel and Gretel, a little brother and sister who were lost in the forest, and they came upon a beautiful cottage made entirely of sweets. And this cottage had gingerbread walls and little buttons on the door. It's a door handle made of crystallized sugar and mints, you know, and I think a special kind of a transparent candy for the windows. And there was always a peppermint candy stick as the chimney. And it was very beautiful. And there was such a sweet old woman outside. "My dear children, come and refresh yourselves in my cottage." So she would feed them. And in the meantime, she'd see that they were becoming plump. And she'd think, "Very nice." Because her plan was that when the children became complacent, she would push them into the oven and cook them. So this is the witch. But still, this danger is there. We're forgetful. So the spiritual master, he has to come out of his causeless mercy from Vrindavan Dham, where he's meditating on Krishna. He has to come to these Western countries full of so much difficulty, so much trouble, so much nonsense, so much absurdity in the material world. And he wakes us up. And why are we fighting so much? Why do we fight with him? It's inconceivable. After all, love of Krishna, it's not artificial. It's said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sanat Goswami is describing to Lord Chaitanya the situation of the conditioned soul. I don't know the verse, but I like to read it. It's very beautiful. Some of you know. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabumai. It's the beginning of a verse. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of the living entities. It's not something to be gained from another source. So love for Krishna is right there under the surface in the heart. Under the surface. Covered by layers and layers of universal coverings. There's a universal layers on the outside of the universe and universal layers on the inside of the heart. The heart is a microcosm of the macrocosm. But it's not artificial. Prabhupada describes that a boy and a girl, they have a natural attraction to each other. They just have to be placed into the right circumstances and that spark will ignite. So it's natural for us. But even for us who have come to the path of devotional service, it's still difficult to remember Krishna. It's very easy to forget Krishna. It's difficult to follow the many, many rules of devotional practice, and it's easy to let them slide. Is it Krishna's fault? Krishna says his avatars are coming to this world like waves on the beach, again and again and again. So Krishna's demonstrating all the time for us that he wants us back. We're making him take so many avatars in this material world. Prabhupada described the reason in an address in Bombay very early, 1936. He was speaking on behalf of the Gaudiya Math to an audience, and he said it's due to the causeless unwillingness of the conditioned soul. Causeless unwillingness. So, We don't want to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and therefore we're suffering again and again. Even if we sometimes follow externally, our problem is very deep-rooted. We have an attitude problem, causeless unwillingness. So the last snare of Maya being discussed in this chapter is that we think that we are God. We can give up everything else, but we can't give up that. It's embarrassing. We're 1/10,000th the size, the tip of the hair, and we think that we're world dominators. And Krishna is so merciful that in spite of this absurd illusion that comes into our mind, he tries his best to make that possible. It's not comfortable for us, and he doesn't want to do it, but it's our desire. In Bhagavad Gita 18:63, Krishna gives Arjuna the choice. Do what you wish to do. He gives us the opportunity. So we have to take the opportunity to fan whatever little spark of desire is there to actually to be sane. Whatever sane desire is there, we have to fan that. We have to feed the right dog, as the American Indians say. There's two dogs in the heart that are fighting. The dog of the lower nature, leading us down into illusion, brute forgetfulness. And then there's the heroic dog, which is fighting the fight against Maya, fighting the good fight. So we have to feed the right dog. Feed the right dog. I heard a story that once, Bhaktivinoda just told me this story. He did actually when he was washing the pots. He said that someone asked Jesus once during a meal, Master, why are you not eating? And he says, I have a food that none of you know about, a great store. So that food was remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the second half of that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita is Shravanani Sudha Chitte Karaya Utaya. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, pure love of Krishna naturally reawakens. So the spiritual master and Krishna are patient with us. They give us the opportunity to hear and chant. And even though we forget to chant, we forget to remember Krishna during the day. How many times? How many moments in a second? How many seconds in a minute? How many minutes in an hour? How many hours in a day? And how many minutes are we remembering Krishna? So there's many opportunities by the process of elimination. That means that we're forgetting Krishna quite a bit. But the spiritual master and Krishna are very patient. They forgive us and they give us another chance. And if we want it, he'll give the same degree of intelligence that he gives Richard Dawkins to forget Krishna and deny Krishna and help others do the same thing. He'll give us the intelligence how to remember him. He'll come to us at different moments of the day. Don't do that. Do this. This is better. Or we may be looking at something and it'll spark off some remembrance of Krishna. I don't like to tell really bad stories. I'm not going to tell that one. But there used to be a certain word in my mind that was associated with gross sense gratification. And it was, sometimes I hear that word and my mind will immediately go to some old memories. And I was thinking, what am I going to do, you know? And somehow, even without reading the book about neuro-linguistic programming, the latest technique, I've got a book on that, I never read it. Sat there for about 4 years. So even without that, I was thinking somehow I've got to reconnect the faulty connections in my wiring up here. You know, I've got to somehow or other make that word a little pathway, a conduit towards Krishna. So somehow or other, I was thinking, what does this word? How does this word relate to Krishna? Let me think. You know. So then I was thinking, aha. Okay, so this word, it's connected, you know, like this. I can think of the Jolan Yatra and Krishna Swing Festival, when I hear this word, and I sort of artificially try to impose that in my consciousness. But after some time, now I hear it, yeah, there's a shadow of the other meaning, but I try to quickly think of something else that's nice. And this is the process of the spiritual master. He's giving us the intelligence of how to reorganize. What does he say? We have to remold. We have to mold our lives in such a way as to always remember Krishna. And that great mercy of the spiritual master, taking that effort to again and again and again be patient with us through all of our nonsense. We have to actually, I think, pay back the spiritual master with a little bit of appreciation. If we can just, even though we're so fallen, even though we fall again and again, if we can just appreciate what he's trying to do and try to faithfully follow as much as our capacity is, then there's some hope for us. Shtetir Seva, Gatir Yatra. This is one of the prayers for forgiveness after deity worship. Shtetir Seva. Let my constitution, my sitting place, my shtetir be Seva. Let it always be service. Gatir Yatra. Let my movement, my gati, my travels, let it be yatra, let it be a pilgrimage to your lotus feet. Smritis chinta, let my remembrance be knowledge of you, or let my thoughts be connected to your lotus feet. Stutir vachana, let my words become glorification of you. Bhuyat sava mano Vishnu, let my entire being, my mind, my words, my body, let everything be absorbed in you. Madhyam Tvai Chastitam, let that desire in my heart manifest. So we pray to Krishna like this. And in this way, hopefully, even though Krishna gives us the choice, as he gave to Arjuna, do as you wish, then we can reply like Arjuna. In Bhagavad Gita 18:73, I only appear to know that because I just looked at it. I've got a good short-term memory. Arjuna says that because of your kindness to me, my illusion is now gone. My remembrance has come back, and now now that my memory is regained, I feel enthusiastic. I'm fixed and firm, and I'm free from doubt. And I'm enthusiastic to do as you wish, to serve you. So that is the process that Srila Prabhupada is describing here on behalf of the spiritual master in the heart, Chaitya Guru, who's instructing Kamparanjana. So I'll leave it there. And repeat again the translation of the verse. Sometimes the super soul is instructing Kamparanjana. You think yourself a man, sometimes a chaste woman, and sometimes a neutral eunuch. This is all because of the body, which is created by the illusory energy. This illusory energy is my potency, and actually both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. Now, just try to understand this. I'm trying to explain our factual position. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Do any of the Vaishnavas have some contribution to the class? But to express gratitude is taking that to its conclusion. To try to cooperate with the spiritual master, to always think of the spiritual master's well-being. Guru Hitam, it says it's one of the duties of the brahmachari to feel firm friendship for the spiritual master. So in friendship to the spiritual master, we should take care of the spiritual master, see that he's taking so many troubles for our sake. So simple duties: to take care of his body, to feed him, to look after his interests, to assist him in his mission, with us by cooperating with his instructions, and assist him in his mission, his wider mission of helping other people, trying to become the servant of the spiritual master means to place the spiritual master's desires at the top of our priority list. So also in this seminar that we just heard recently, Maharaj called up one girl from the summer camp, Jaya, and he said, "Since you're so eager to talk about fighting Maya, how do you fight Maya? How do you wake up from illusion?" And her reply was really nice. She said that it's difficult because we like Maya. We want to do things that are ignorant and foolish. But we remember as we're doing them that actually the spiritual master has another desire. Krishna's desire is something different. So as much as I want to do it, let me put it aside. As much as I really don't want to do this thing, let me hear the advice of the spiritual master. Let his presence be constantly in my mind. And let me surrender to the spiritual master. And it's nothing bad will happen. Nothing bad. We're thinking that this taste we have, you know, the sense gratification, is so sweet. But this taste, it's like a kind of a sickness that we're compulsively attached to doing something again and again and again, and it's harmful to us. But we find people like that in the psychiatric hospitals. I mean, we find people like that walking on the street. We're all a bit like that. But we've got some habits, and they happen again and again and again, and we don't give them up, and they make us suffer, and we do it again. And we know it makes us suffer, but somehow it just happens again and again because we're conditioned to do it. It's safe, it's comfortable because we're happy with that. So we have to have some trust in the spiritual master, that he knows how to help us and he knows what will make us happy. And we have some experience also that when we do surrender and we do follow, it's like a great burden being lifted up off the shoulders. But our disease is like we're like the old woman who's walking on the path carrying a great bundle of sticks on her back. And she's stopped by two travellers. "Can I help you? Is there something to be done here?" Krishna and the spiritual master are appearing to the old woman. And she goes, Oh, now that you ask. "You see, I had this great burden on my back. It became so heavy. And I had to put it on the ground for a minute. I could hardly keep walking." And they say, "Is there something we can do for you? Could you just lift it? Just help me get it back." So, you know, why are we like this? It's just foolishness. We should don't make the spiritual master and Krishna go to all this trouble for nothing. You know, why make him work for nothing? You scrub something very clean, and then the floor, we've got cleaners on the ground floor and cleaners in the reception, they scrub and they mop and they mop, and someone walks in, but there's a doormat. Why don't you just wipe your shoes and, you know, be a little grateful and respectful and appreciative, but no, just, oh, excuse me, she's not that bad. Just, you know, tread right over in the muddy boots. It's no problem. Someone will come again and clean up. You know, this is the way children think about their parents sometimes. So don't make the spiritual master come back again and again in this material world. I heard that Srila Prabhupada once said something really heavy because he was describing the story of Bildamandala Thakur. Bildamandala Thakur, his instructing spiritual master was Chintamani, a prostitute. His initiating spiritual master was Somagiri. But it was actually revealed to Bildamandala Thakur that Somagiri had actually also appeared as the prostitute. That we're so absorbed in sense gratification that the spiritual master will go to such an extent, you know, to pull us back in. And when describing the situation, Srila Prabhupada suddenly looked at the devotees and he said, "Don't make me take birth again as a prostitute." So it's really sad. I have to say, I do the same thing. I take so much help from the guru, I get his hopes up, I build up a bit of steam, and I follow, and then I wrote to my instructor and spiritual master recently. I said, "Maharaj, it's like trying to straighten the Indian dog's tail." And then as soon as you let go, it's like a spring, you know. So again and again we do it, but we shouldn't be babies, you know. Actually, we're not so weak. We've got everything we need. We've got association, we've got the shastra. We shouldn't be babies, we should grow up, and we should take responsibility for serving the mission of the spiritual master. He won't be with us forever. Well, he wasn't with us forever. And so why wait until he leaves this world to actually really focus on reciprocation? You know, try and give him some happiness even now by reciprocating with the spiritual master. Srimad Bhagavatam.